שלום, אנחנו לומדים מספר כתבי בעל הסולם מההקדמה.
Hello, we're reading from the writings of בעל הסולם. You can ask questions. You can ask questions as usual. Relevant questions may be aired during the lesson. We're reading from the introduction to the book of Zohar.
Yeah, it's a very important introduction. After all, it's for the book of Zohar. Many parts here, it's very diverse. We're not gonna comb it word for word, because it's also impossible. You begin to understand it after you begin to attain everything. But what we will do is try to renew as much as possible, to refresh what we already have from all those things, and make sure that we don't make any mistakes, that we understand things a little better. So let's go. You read each item and we will scrutinize things about each part.
Introduction to the Book of Zohar, Item 1. In this introduction, I would like to clarify matters that are seemingly simple, matters that everyone fumbles with and for which much ink has been spilled, attempting to clarify. Yet we have not reached a concrete and sufficient knowledge of them. Question 1. What is our essence? Question number 2. What is our role in the long chain of reality, of which we are but small links? Question number 3. When we examine ourselves, we find that we are so corrupted and low, and there is nothing more contemptible than us. And when we examine the operator who has made us, we are compelled to be at the highest degree, for there is none so praiseworthy as him. For it is necessary that only perfect operations will stem from a perfect operator. 4. Our mind asserts that he is the good who does good, and there is nothing higher than him. How then did he create so many creatures that suffer and agonize all through their lives? Is it not the way of the good to do good, or at least not to do so much harm? 5. How is it possible that the infinite, who has neither beginning nor end, will produce finite, mortal, and flawed creatures?
That's how he opens the introduction. Really heavy questions. They include everything you can say about men, and about his life, and about our universe, and about all the worlds and everything. We can simply continue and see how he awakens these questions and answers them, because he intends to answer them. Or if you want, we can clarify, scrutinize further what are those questions. I'm willing to help. Do you have any questions?
Hello. Bisadr, Zadav Katov.
No, okay. It's actually good. So let's continue. Oh, we have someone. Start with New York.
Was Baal HaSulam the first one to write like this? Was there any other people who took the RE and made it so clear and precise like this?
No.
No.
Well, in this way, as you're asking, was it ever done in such a clear, concrete, sharp way? Did people ask questions like that as Baal Sulam? No, they didn't. They worked on it differently. It's not like there were no people in attainment. There were great Kabbalists before Baal Sulam. But what the Kabbalist writes is not according to what he is, but according to the development of the generation, the extent to which he can allow himself to speak about it openly. So it turns out that we have no one else like Baal Sulam who scrutinized these things so clearly, for specifically for the souls that we have today. Well, maybe not today, but the last 100 years are coming out to the world. So Baal Sulam was given permission and he wrote about it 100 years ago. There are other styles. Different Kabbalists have other styles. And they wrote, you can't say that they didn't. And I've read many books before I got to Baal Sulam, and he was not so recognized. They tried to conceal him. But after discovering Baal Sulam, I closed all the other books. I put them aside, and I rarely touched them since. Other than Baal Sulam and Rabash, we don't need anything for our spiritual work besides the two. Nothing. Anything you can see in other books is a small, tiny fraction of what Baal Sulam discovered. And also in a way that's not as clear. You won't see questions being asked the way he's asking them. What is our essence? What is our role? Why are we so lowly and contemptible? Why are we so limited? Why the upper force created us so as bad? How come he's eternal, infinite, and we are such that start life, end life in sorrow, so finite way, and we have nothing? How can it be that facing eternity, this huge force, we are so small and we have nothing? This paradox is, it doesn't let you rest because it speaks about my life. What else do I have? Meaning the question is, if he gave us life, the upper force, then how can it be that he gave it to us in such a way? Short, lowly, incomplete. Why? What does he get out of it? Logically speaking, if we look at nature, that is whole. So it is whole, and he must create all the results from it in a complete way. But we don't see it. We see that all the different parts of nature are struggling with one another. One is devouring the other, and everyone dies at the end. So what can we do about it? This doesn't let the brain relax. I can forget about it and continue. I'm alive. I should suffer as little as possible. But nevertheless, it doesn't relieve me from the questions. If animals don't ask such questions, their lives are better, although they suffer. But a man, the more developed he is, the more he asks and the more he suffers. And that's really the question, the general question. We don't understand the Creator. Nature, you can say. How can it be that such a huge, complete, whole thing created such a terrible world opposite him in every way? Many philosophers spoke about it, many psychologists, but it's not satisfying. The explanation can be only through attainment of the upper force. Let's see.
He brought it so close. He made such a big leap from where it was to us. It means that our vessel must have made such a big leap in order to feel this so low. This is it. This is the final step.
Yeah.
When I read him, I picture myself being at the lowest degree and him as being in the highest degree. That's it. A person who achieved the end of correction, the final correction. And he writes to me where I am maybe at the lowest degree, because even that you have to attain. That's the way it is. All right, Seth.
Moscow 1. Rav, maybe we can scrutinize these questions in the 10.
I don't think you mean to talk about this now? I don't think we should talk about it. You know what? I don't know. Our problem is that we have to know everyone's opinion. Do you want to do this general workshop in the tens? Is it convenient for you to do it this way? Or maybe we should start and get used to it? I don't know. For now, it turns out that we're not learning in groups. It's as if you're learning with me. But there aren't groups here that are connected among them. How do we do it so there's a connection between you during the study? That's the question. I don't know. Do you want to speak about it in the groups? And then report your impressions from this connection?
We can discuss it in the 10.
Do you have connection with the whole 10 right now, just like you're sitting in one room?
Of course, we have such a technical problem. In every 10, you can have this kind of discussion.
So talk about these questions now for the next 5 minutes. Go ahead. Do you have these questions?
Yeah, it's translated into all languages.
Translated into all the languages, translation of the questions, right? Okay, so talk about it. I'm giving you 5 minutes. Afterwards, we'll see. Let's go.
The questions are always questions like, how could it be that from something so perfect, whole and complete like the Creator, come things that we look at ourselves and we see how lowly we really are? Where does this gap come from?
I'm in favor of reading the questions again. And then we'll be able to talk about them. first question is, what is our essence? The second question is, what is our role in the long chain of reality of which we are but small links? Question number three, when we examine ourselves, we find that we are so corrupted and low, and there is nothing more contemptible than us. And when we examine the operator who has made us, we are compelled to be at the highest degree, for there is none so praiseworthy as him. For it is necessary that only perfect operations will stem from the perfect operator. For our mind asserts that he is the good who does good, and there is nothing higher than him. How then did he create so many creatures that suffer and agonize all through their lives? Is it not the way of the good to do good? Or at least not to do so much harm? 5. How is it possible that the infinite, who is neither beginning nor end, will produce finite, mortal, and flawed creatures?
From the questions, it's possible to see how Bala Sulam simply puts like this bomb in front of a person, laying out the entire truth before him, in front of him, and now starts scrutinizing the deepest questions in life, slice by slice. These aren't twisted questions or anything, but he asks you directly.
Relating to the second question, which is our role in the long chain of reality, of which we are but small links, that's the question that brought me to the wisdom of Kabbalah, because I felt so small compared to the vast reality that has some regularity to it. So how can you understand this vast regularity?
I think that these are questions that every person has. Depends where does he meet him, on what level. And here, they're asked in the clearest way. So, first of all, I think that a person has to discuss this kind of with himself. Walk around with it a bit. And to try and answer these questions, and the wisdom of Kabbalah is really the place that eventually a person's brought to, because this is the only place where you can start scrutinizing and embark on this journey of inner scrutiny and revelation.
Can you hear me? Now that I read it, it seems to me like there's an order of cause and consequence. So the questions are gradual and necessarily come in this order. As a person who is researching and wants to discover the reason for his life, the meaning of his life, maybe unconsciously. So these questions awaken in him in this order.
It says, third question goes, when we examine ourselves and we look at and we examine the operator who has made us. Rav said that I have to focus on my friends for them to fill my entire heart. I think that this is the way to feel the operator who has made us and his wholeness and perfection.
I think these questions are like a filter for the point in the heart. A person whose point hasn't awakened has a question about his essence. Does he feel lower than others? These questions burn in him. And in this way, Bala Sulam like places a gate at the entry to the essay. Otherwise, it's irrelevant for you.
Mm-hmm. In the first question, he says that there was much written about this, trying to scrutinize these things, and that today we're in a really special place and time where many people are awakening and starting to ask these questions due to the problems and troubles that we're experiencing in life.
Maybe because I learned with Carmiel the four faces of direct light, but it seems like each of the five questions is directed at a specific phase. It begins with our essence, like that's like Keter, and then continues. Like everything in reality, you have this cascading of four phases that begins with the essence and ends with being so low.
Yeah. And question number five, a person simply observes nature, seeing how everything is harmoniously connected and whole and perfect, and why is his life not the same? Why is there such a difference between the nature around him and where he is? What is his place in the system?
In the final question, he says, how can it be that from the infinite, who has neither beginning nor end, will produce finite, mortal, and flawed creatures? So you can see, you can say the same question with regard to us when we come to work. You see that we are totally powerless to do any work or bestowal or think or pray for the friends. And this whole of reality, what does it deal with? And what do Kabbalists tell us that we have to deal with or should deal with?
These questions lead a person to research the Creator. How does he work, influence a person, operate him, makes a person ask, why was he created for? What is his purpose in the world, in life?
In the fourth question, it says, how did he create so many creatures that suffer and agonize all through their lives? It's true of every single minute.
Also, the matter that these are very personal questions. On the one hand, on the other hand, the deeper you delve into the study, you understand that you can get answers only through the connection, and that we as a 10 probably have to find these answers.
Niv, what are we going to do? How do we come back to everyone being together?
All of us together.
All of us together. Okay, so what are the impressions from what you spoke about now? Please, but be serious and concrete, to the point. Please.
Yes or no?
Are there any impressions? I see only
Hebrew 10.
All right. Hebrew 10, quickly. Good.
Holland 1.
Holland, Netherlands.
I think that in this case,
we choose questions
then we can as a group, we can ask a question, which is, I think we felt in the last week, with all these questions, not being able to discuss things with the ten.
Good, very well. Nice impression. North America won.
Our impressions were that we didn't have anything like this.
All right.
Florida.
Fine. Florida.
Good morning, friends. The impression that I have, I was really grateful for those questions in 2003, when I was in the dark,
living alone, and I was asking myself, why I'm here? Why do I exist? And it was really hard for me.
Okay.
PT 19.
Bala Salam says that much was done in order to scrutinize this, but still we don't understand. So what can we scrutinize?
This I don't know. We'll answer the questions later. I want to hear impressions from the 10.
It's a beautiful impression from the 10, but you don't really understand.
I'm not asking about understanding, I'm asking about the 10.
So we're doing good work. I mean,
in short, you and I are not on equal terms. I want one thing, you want another. As usual. All right. Peter 3.
It's a very important discussion. We'd like to get answers.
Okay, so now, one question for everyone. How often do you want to have such workshops? How frequent? Do you want to do one every half hour, every 15 minutes, after a specific question? How should we, so we have to put it into the study, all right? So our learning will be a little longer, our lesson will be a little longer, let's say until 6 a.m. Israel time. Okay, so Niv, let's continue.
Item 2. In order to scrutinize all of this, in order to fully clarify all this, we need to make some preliminary inquiries, and not, God forbid, where it is forbidden in the Creator's essence, of which we have no thought or perception whatsoever, and thus have no thought or utterance of Him. But where we are commanded to inquire, meaning the inquiry of His deeds. It is as the Torah commands us, know the God of your father and serve Him. And as it says in the poem of unification, by your actions we know you. Thus, inquiry number one is, how can we picture a new creation, something new that is not included in Him before He creates it? When it's obvious to any observer that there is nothing that is not included in Him.
So the question is very interesting. Did the Creator create something new? What could be something new that wasn't in him? It was in the thought. Fine, so it was in the thought, and he did it in matter, in practice, but it did exist in the thought. And how can it be that if it weren't in the thought, in what way was it? How can there be something that didn't have any preparation for it in advance, any root? What did it come from? From zero, from absolute zero, without any beginning? That's the question. Can something like that be in nature at all or not? That if he has created something, he certainly created it from himself. And if it's from himself, then it's certain that in us there's something from him. So if it's from him, it's not new.
Inquiry number two. If you say that from the aspect of his almightiness, of course, he can create existence from absence, something new that is not in him, there arises the question, what is this reality which can be determined as having no place in him at all, but is completely new?
In other words, if he really did something new, what is new? Meaning that doesn't exist in him. That wasn't missing. If he's complete, how can it be that it wasn't in him? That he created existence from absence, from nothing, that didn't exist, and decided that it is missing and must be created. So, first, I suppose it wasn't missing, or is missing. And after creation, it's not missing anymore. Go on.
Inquiry number three. Kabbalists have said that man's soul is a part of God above. So, there's no difference between him and the soul, except he is the whole, and the soul is a part. They compared it to a rock carved from a mountain. There's no difference between the rock and the mountain, except that one is the whole and the other is a part. Thus, we must ask, it is one thing that a stone carved from the mountain is separated from it by an axe made for that purpose, causing the separation of the part from the whole. But how can you picture this about him, that he will separate a part of his self until it departs his self and becomes separated from him, meaning a soul, to the point that it can be understood only as a part of his soul?
In other words, there is something that he decided he doesn't have, but he wants to create it. How did he create it? How did he separate it from himself? And that thing is important to him. But what was he? How was he without it before? So there are many such cosmological questions that it didn't exist before and now it does, and it developed from it. And why? Is it a flaw from the perspective of the Creator that he didn't have creation in him before? Or maybe it's the other way around. By this, he rises even higher. So many such questions on the borderline of philosophy and cosmology. But the wisdom of Kabbalah looks at it differently, of course. Questions. You went over the whole of item two? So, questions about item two. None, really. Okay, let's continue.
Item 3. Inquiry number 4. Since the chariot of the Sitra Achra and the Klipot is so far at the other end from His Holiness, until such remoteness is inconceivable, how can it be extracted and made from holiness, much less that His Holiness will sustain it?
Right. How can it be that the Creator created something that is opposite from Him, stands against Him, like its enemy, but this enemy He Himself engenders and develops and sustains? How can it be? So there's a connection between them. Meaning He needs this negative thing that He created. So how can it be that He hates it and at the same time sustains it? There is maybe a game that is not that clean here. It is still connected. He needs the Sitra Achra. Go on.
Inquiry number 5, the matter of the revival of the dead. Since the body is so contemptible that immediately at birth it is doomed to death and burial, and moreover, the Zohar said that before the body rots entirely, the soul cannot ascend to its place in the Garden of Eden. While there is still remnants of it, therefore, why must it return and rise at the revival of the dead? Could the Creator not delight the souls without it? Ever more bewildering is what our sages said, that the dead are destined to rise with their flaws so they will not be mistaken for another, and after that, He'll cure their flaws. We must understand why the Creator should mind that they would not be mistaken for another, to the point that for this He would recreate their flaws and then would have to cure it.
No questions? Okay. So, oh, there are. Ita 4. What's up?
Rav, che significa che l'anima prima che arrivi al giardino dell'Eden il corpo?
What does it mean that the souls, before they reach the Garden of Eden, that their body first has to rot?
I don't know. That's what he wrote. How should I know? I didn't go through heaven or hell, so I can't tell you. That's what it's written. According to what is written, he wants to understand what we're talking about. Let's read onward, and from that we'll understand. So, where were you?
Inquiry number 6.
Yeah.
Regarding what our sages said, that man is the center of reality, that the upper worlds, this corporeal world and everything in them, were created only for him, and obliged man to believe that the world had been created for him. It is seemingly hard to grasp that for this trifling human, whose value is no more than a wisp compared to the reality of this world, much less compared to all the upper worlds, whose height and sublimity is immeasurable, the Creator had troubled Himself to create all these for Him. And also, why does man need all this?
What's up, Niv? What do you have that face for?
Serious questions.
Yeah, because it's speaking about us, not about... Really, who are we in this universe? And each one of us is less than a fly. And with all of our feelings in mind that we have more than all creations, we're the worst in all, we're the less. We get hurt and we're weak. So, what's all this for? Man is supposedly in this life on earth in such a shallow way, and he's given the ability to see all the universe, the stars, the distances. Also let him understand nature and its depth and that it's infinite in all directions. And we're nothing. And we don't know anything, and we don't know anything. And what we do know or understand, by that we ruin ourselves. And we see how we're worse than everything. So what can we do? What can we say? That the Creator is bad, that He created us, and where is He? And no, it's not for, there's a reason He's hiding from us. And then, this whole creation in the end, whatever you say, whatever your eyes can see, it's all horrible. If there was someone who was really creating all this, he couldn't create anything worse. He gave us feeling and mind to understand how everything's bad. Right? Those are actually these questions.
PT4.
In the beginning of the article, he says that these are questions that everyone has.
Of course, usually it's like that. Usually everybody asks this. Yeah.
What does it mean, asking? There are people who have no questions.
So there are those and those, but all in all, humanity is asking, they are asking these questions, and through them they don't know what to do. But the whole culture, our life, in the end, they have these questions inside. I go to work, I go back, I bring children, I bear children, I take care of them, I do all kinds of things in life. For what? I don't know. But these questions inside are constantly there. But I silence them because I have no answers for them. And this is each and every one. Because if you'd reveal them, put them way out in the open clearly, so man wouldn't have any way to continue his life. Everybody would just finish their life and that's it.
So really everything that a person does in the world, regardless of who and what he is, he kind of quenches these questions.
Yeah, our whole life is finding ways to silence these questions because we have no answer for them. And when we can't silence them anymore, so we come to the wisdom of Kabbalah.
Humanity is developing more and more and more until it begins to feel that there has to be a solution out of the general level of man's development, out of science, out of all kinds of things. Materialistic psychology, as he writes there, and all those things. In the end, a person comes to such development that he does come to resolve these problems. I have to solve them. I have no problem. The suffering comes in such a way that it gives me a place, room, conditions to research and understand the question. Take the coronavirus, for example. You will see how people will awaken as a result of it. It's only just begun. People are still dreaming about returning to the previous state. They already know that they can't go back. But they think like they can live like before with all those things. I go to work, I come back, I go to buy something to... have some fun, I go out for vacation. There's no such thing. Everything is changing completely until it comes to the basis of life. This is why the wisdom of Kabbalah is appearing, along with all the changes that the world is going through now. Okay? Let's ask Latin 6.
Según el texto, dice para que las almas no sean.
In the text, he says that in order for the souls not to get confused, can souls get confused if the Creator created them?
I don't know, we're not going to talk about the souls. Why talk about something confusing in order to be more confused? It's not going to give us an answer. Niv.
Item 4. To understand these questions and inquiries, the only tactic is to examine the end of the act, that is, the purpose of creation. For nothing can be understood in the middle of the process, but only at its end. And it is clear that there is no act without a purpose, for only the insane can act purposelessly. I know that there are those who cast over their backs the burden of Torah and Mitzvot, saying the Creator has created the whole of reality, then left it alone, that because of the worthlessness of the creatures, it is not fitting for the exalted Creator to watch over their mean little ways. Indeed, without knowledge they have spoken. For it is impossible to decide on our lowliness and nothingness before we decide that we have created ourselves with all our corrupted and loathsome natures. But while we decide that the Creator, who is utterly perfect and is the one who created and designed our bodies with all their admirable and contemptible attributes, surely there can never emerge an imperfect act under the hand of the perfect worker, as each act testifies to its performer. What fault is it of a bad garment if some no good tailor made it? Such as this we find in a tale about Rabbi Elazar, son of Rabbi Shimon, who came across a very ugly man. He said to him, "How ugly is that man?" The man replied, "Go and tell the craftsman who made me, how ugly is this instrument that you have made." Thus, those who claim that because of our lowliness and nothingness, it is not beneath him to watch over us, and so he has left us, do nothing but display their ignorance. Try to imagine, if you were to meet a person who would create creatures precisely so they would suffer and agonize their whole lives as we do, and not only that, but casts them behind his back without even to look after them to help them a little, how contemptible and low you would regard him. Can such a thing be thought of him?
No. Shilot o sadna, ma atem rotim?
Questions or a workshop, what do you prefer? Let's vote. Who is in favor of asking questions and who is in favor of workshop in the tens? Alex, please.
As if shall
אחד או שתיים. מה זה אחד? ניב.
Niv, what's one? The order you asked is who's in favor of questions and who wants a workshop. So I suppose that one is questions and two is workshop. But I don't think that it was clear to all the friends. So more people want questions according to the way, to the order in which you asked. Yeah.
לא שומעים רב.
אחד זה
רב. We can hear you.
So one is for questions and two is for workshop. Okay, so ask questions, fine. Please. No questions. If there are no questions, so workshop. Oh, there are. Well, not really. Yeah, okay. So, questions. PT4.
מה בעל הסולם בעצם אומר כאן באות דלת?
What is בעל הסולם actually saying here in item 4? Because he's turning it in different directions.
באות דלת.
In number 4, he says this. To understand these questions and inquiries, the only tactic is to examine the end of the act, that is, the purpose of creation. For nothing can be understood in the middle of the process, but only in the end. If we see the end, and the end is good and correct, then everything we have before it, they could be essential to reach such a good ending. And if we see that the end isn't good, so all these things in the middle, they weren't worth it. And according to that, we can also relate to the one who is activating all of reality, inventing all of reality, and bringing it to some kind of final form. So what is he saying? That we need to decide only from looking. The end of the action begins in a thought. And the end of the action, the purpose, we have to know about it. How can we know about it? Only from Kabbalists, whoever was there. That if we, he gives that example on the clothes, that a father takes his child to a seamstress and he brings a piece of cloth to make some clothes for the child, and the tailor starts cutting the cloth. So the child starts screaming, "Look what he's doing." The child thinks he's ruining the cloth, and the tailor and the father, they understand that it's a correction, that this is what is supposed to be. What the meaning is, this is all of creation. If we don't see the result, so we see things that are corrupted on the path, and only someone who knows what the plan is, so he can suffer these things that through them you reach the end, and he says that they are essential in order to reach the ending. That's why he explains to us that we have no choice but to be patient, to study about that ending, and to suffer what we're going through, and how we also need in every moment to towards the end, towards the purpose, to adhere to all these actions, because without them, we can't attain the final goal. That the actions that we go through on the path, they correct us to see that final goal. And the goal exists now too. You hear? The goal of creation exists now. It exists even more. We are in it. But we need to change from inside to feel that purpose. But it is here, the next world, we're in it. We are in spirituality and perfection. Just our senses cannot attain this, cannot acknowledge this. What else is he saying? That's it. Actually. So, to keep it short, read number 5.
Item 5. Therefore, common sense dictates that we grasp the opposite of what appears to be on the surface and decide that we're truly noble and worthy creatures of immeasurable importance, meaning truly worthy of the worker who had made us. For any fault you wish to perceive in our bodies, behind all the excuses that you give to yourself, falls only on the Creator, who created us and the nature within us, for it is clear that He created us and not we. He also knows all the ways that stem from the evil nature and attributes He has instilled in us. It is, as we have said, that we must contemplate the end of the act. And then we will be able to understand everything. It is, as the saying goes, do not show a fool a job half done.
Is that clear? Meaning, we need some kind of way to reach a state that we feel the end, we understand the end, we study about the end, but how is it possible if we aren't even in the correct beginning? How do we know about it? Read again, number 5.
Item 5. Therefore, common sense dictates that we grasp the opposite of what appears to be on the surface and decide that we are truly noble and worthy creatures of immeasurable importance, meaning truly worthy of the worker who had made us, for any fault you wish to perceive in our bodies.
שתרצה להרהר על גופותינו, הנה אחר כל מיני תירוצים.
For any fault you wish to perceive in our bodies, behind all the excuses that you give to yourself, falls only on the Creator who created us and the nature within us, for it is clear that He created us and not we.
גם ידע,
He also knows all the ways that stem from the evil nature and attributes He has instilled in us, It is, as we have said, that we must contemplate to the end of the act, and then we will be able to understand everything. It is, as the saying goes, do not show a fool a job half done.
Meaning that we right now are in Gemar Tikkun. Everybody hears? We are all in Gemar Tikkun. We are the most exalted, the best, the most good, connected in all kinds of form of bestowal and love between us, and we resemble the Creator in 100%. But what happened was that we don't feel this. We don't feel it. And this feeling only is what we need to correct. That's it. But truly, we are like the Creator, with Him in the complete Dvikut. And we only have the concealment where we are, who we're dealing with. Only that is what we need to work on. The moment we lift this concealment, we discover ourselves in the complete adhesion in the with the Creator, meaning heaven, as we say, next world. That is what we have. So we don't have to solve the problem anymore of how He created us so low. He created only one thing. He didn't create bad. He created the end. That the end of an action begins in a thought. And what was in that thought, He doesn't need any actions but thought. That's why we are in the thought of creation. But our work is only for us to feel where we are. Please speak about that for 5-minute workshop, please. 5-minute workshop, how the Creator created us whole in Gemar Tikkun. And only we don't feel it and need to work on our vessels of reception. And what helps us to reach that true perception. Please.
What helps us to reach the true perception of things is the effort that we make to adhere to the friends. This draws the light.
This whole business that you're in Gemar Tikkun and don't feel it, it's very confusing. It's against the feeling of man that it has some kind of feeling today. And only the force of the ten can be something that in somewhat will succeed to somehow bring me on some track to take care of this. Because what are we saying? It's like a dream. A dream that it's like a nightmare that we have to awaken from. How will we discover this? Only with the friends in the tent.
Rav said that we're in Gemar Tikkun, and this only shows me that I have to correct only myself, not anyone else, in order to see reality for what it really is.
Even though the feeling that we are a feeling vessel, but there's a difference between what you need to bring of yourself or what you need to reveal. Because if we think about what we need to reveal, and we understand it's not in our forces to create this new reality by our forces, so we know where to search for it, in the Creator. And that's where we get the prayer and understand that we don't have anything to do except to turn to Him to open this reality for us.
I think that the main thing here is to remind each other that all in all, the Creator created a whole and complete reality and created all of us in Gemar Tikkun and then hid it from us, put us under concealment. And now we have to see how can we, through this concealment, rebuild the adhesion to Him upon everything that we see in front of our eyes, hear, feel, think, to really build the reality of Gemar Tikkun that the Creator has really created and not the way it seems to us.
The connection between us by us getting impressions from one another, examples, it expands our perception. And specifically in the 10, as we learn, it's a structure that is whole. And we open it together by the connection. We build, we get new qualities from one another.
It narrows down our problems in life from many problems to one little problem. How to open our heart to love. Everything else is already arranged.
Okay, let's have a song now and then go to the peace article.
יוצא אל הרחוב, מתערבב בתוך כולם. מי צריך את מי יותר, אני או העולם? כי we are, you should come along. With one voice, we can spread this song. Bring down the walls, you know it won't. When we're together, we cannot be wrong. Теперь я точно знаю, все мы соединены. Любой вопрос решаем, если вместе будем мы. Жизнь она как сказка, если мы одна семья. Бесконечно прекрасный мир и 7 миллиардов я. Here we are, you should come along. With one voice, we can spread this song. Bring down the walls, you know it won't be long. When we're together, we cannot be. Dijimos a un deseo por la unión. Todas las puertas se abren al abrir tu corazón. Nada es imposible cuando hay fuerza y voluntad. Juntos bailaremos hasta la eternidad. Here we are, you should come.